Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio with your host, Dr. Cheryl Thaxton. I'm so glad that you're with me today to join me for Favor Life, the process of there where we walk by faith and not by sight to the destiny call and purpose of God for our lives. It is amazing how God chooses unlikely people to do a great work for him in the earth. He fills us with his spirit and his power. He shows us his will and his word, and he anoints us in his spirit and his power to go forth and to be all that we need to be in him. And as we walk in obedience to his will and his word, as we allow our faith to pull us into the place where we can see what God wants more than we hear what the enemy or the circumstance or the situation is saying to us, we see God's power manifested and we see lives changed. We see people blessed. We see the glory of God revealed, and we see people who are hurting healed by his authority. God is so amazing, and I love how he uses unlikely people for his good pleasure, for his will in the earth. We've been looking at unlikely places of blessings, and we started off last year in this series, and we're continuing. Now we're dealing with unlikely place of blessing, and it's dealing with leadership, and it's talking about David, who has been chosen by God, not man, to do the will of God. And this unlikely place that he was not looking for, this unlikely place that he was not even thinking about, God chose him for. But not only did he choose him, he prepared him and is preparing him to be a great king over his people. He's entrusting him to do something great. And what we have to understand is when God chooses us, he is choosing us not for us to be great in our own eyes, but for us to be vessels that will honor him, give him glory, obey him, and let him get the glory as we are being used by him. God wants us to be agents for him, people for him, that he can always get glory from, that he can always get honor from, and that we will not steal it or take it from ourselves, we'll try to make it seem as if we've done something great, but we will always look to the author and the finisher of our faith, knowing that he is the one who's done something marvelous, and we're just the vessel that he's using to do something in the earth that brings him glory. We're going to go back again and look at David and get some more insight on his life, on his journey, on his process, because as you know, God will use process to get you where you need to get in him. And we don't like the process. We hate the process. But the process is necessary because it strips away from us the things that are not like God. It makes us see who he is. It makes us want and desire him more than we want and desire our own way or our own will. It causes us to understand that our God is awesome and that he can do anything he wants and that he's chosen us to pour his love, his wisdom, his knowledge, his spirit, his instructions, his revelation into, and as we obey him, we see the demonstration of God's power like never before in our lives. Our obedient faith causes lives to be changed because we're not going in our own power or strength. We're going in the power and strength of the Lord. And you cannot speak the word of God, the life of God, and God not show up and do something awesome for you. Lives are changed when the truth, the power of the word is released. Lives are changed when the power of faith is released in Jesus Christ. So we want lives to be changed. We want people to have an experience and encounter with God that's greater than anything else. So if we are the vessels that God is using and God is going to use, we need to allow him to process us and get us where we need to get so that we can be able to bear the fruit of righteousness that looks like him, so that many people will be helped, blessed, saved, ministered to because of the God that we serve. Now, as we look at 1 Samuel, and we're going back to the mindset of Saul, because I want you to understand that when David encounters Saul in the state that he's in, after he's killed Goliath, and Saul himself has made himself an enemy of David, David is taken for a loop because within himself, he sees Saul as like a second father. He sees Saul as a leader, as a mentor. And he's not withholding anything from Saul. He's not being vindictive. He's not trying to make his own way. David is only following the instructions of what he's been given. And as he follows the instructions that has been given to him, God allows him to behave himself and act in a way as a wise man, as someone who is being trained by the Lord to do some great things. David does not at any time allow anyone to know that he's after the throne, that he's next in line. He just does what he's been told. He's not trying to toot his own horn. He is a man of humility, and that's what you have to understand. As a leader, you have to be humble. You have to have a heart that is humble before God and his people, and not a false humility. Not a false humility that people sometimes give, but a real humbleness of heart that says that I don't see myself great in my own eyes. I see the God that I serve great. I see his power and his anointing. I see him great. And I'm someone that he's using for his glory. And when you understand that, then you don't get puffed up and prideful, because you know that everything that belongs to God. Everything that you do is because of his divine will. And any place that you will go is because of God and his hand and his favor on your life. And I love that David is a humbled man. David is a humble man. Saul is basically afraid of David because he knows that the Lord's Spirit is upon him. He knows that, he understands that, and he has made himself an enemy of David. David never was his enemy. He made himself. There will be people you would never do anything to them. You would never, ever do anything to them. They will choose within themselves, within their heart, to make you an enemy. They will choose within themselves to dislike you. They will choose within themselves to shun you. They will choose within themselves to not have anything to do with you. And in their own mind, they are right. They believe that they are justified for their actions and their deeds. And it has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with the anointing on your life given to you by the Lord. Now, when this happens, it's hard for us to sometimes not take it personal, because we're looking at first in a personal perspective. We're looking through eyes that says, you hurt my flesh, or you are coming against me, and I've done nothing. But you have to remember, it is the anointing of your life that they're coming against. It's what God is doing you, and how he's using you, and the victories and the overcoming testimonies that you have that they despise. So you have to get in a place where you allow God to crucify the mindset and the heart of you that says retaliate, to act the same way or to do the same thing. You have to make sure that you do not in any way become as they are, but you remain pure, you remain tender before the Lord, and you constantly pray that your heart is pure and that you pray for the ones who despitefully use you. David knew he could not touch Saul, and he did not touch Saul in word, action, or deed. He made sure all his actions were honorable before God. He says, I will not lay a hand to God's anointed. Even though David was anointed and he was God's anointed, Saul did not see him in the same light. That's why he pursued him as much as he did, and as hard as he did, because he did not see him as God's elect, God's anointed, God's king. He saw him as an enemy. Whoever's coming against you is going to see you as an enemy. They're not going to see the anointing. They're not going to see anything else in your life. They're going to see you as an enemy. And you have to understand that everything that Saul did was to be a distraction to David. He wanted the marriage to his daughter to be a distraction to him. He wanted him going out with 1,000 men to fight the Philistines to be his death. He wanted David to get carried away in the life of being his son-in-law, of being around the kingdom and having himself around the king's table. He wanted all these things to make him lose focus. But David didn't lose focus because he understood his purpose, and he understood that what he was going through was going to work for his good because God couldn't lie. Now, when God allowed Jonathan to befriend him, this relationship was a covenant relationship that was holy and pure. It was a friendship. And God allowed that friendship to be that which would not only be a blessing to David, but to Jonathan and the house of Saul, even after they were dead. Because Jonathan, even though he was not there, David honored that relationship, and he made sure the house of Jonathan and Saul was taken care of. He did not do what normal kings would have done when he took the throne, which was to kill or destroy every family member of that king. He didn't do that. He wanted to be good to the house of Saul and Jonathan. And that lets you see the compassion of Jesus. That lets you see the mercy of Jesus. That lets you see the favor of God, because he did not do what they should have received. They should have received death. They should have been treated very badly. But David shows them the goodness of the Lord, which shows you the heart of who he was the entire time that he was going through the process of what he was going through. David wanted to understand what he had done, and he wanted to understand why Saul was doing what he was doing. And he even tried to convince Jonathan, but when Jonathan heard with his own ears the words of his father, then he knew that there was something terribly wrong with his father, because he knew David had done nothing. When he sided with David, Saul had every right to put him to death. When David escaped from Saul's daughter's bed, and she put the head of an idol in the bed, and when they came looking for David and they didn't find him, and Saul addressed her, she said that he forced her to do it, because she understood by defying the king, even though he was her father, he had all right to put her to death. So Jonathan was in a place where he was basically putting his own life in danger by siding with David, who had done nothing, understood that now, because Saul believed him to be an enemy, he was an enemy. Not just the enemy of Saul, but an enemy to that whole nation. And Saul made sure that everyone hunted David, that everyone went after him so that they could destroy him. And anyone who gave him anything, any food, that gave him shelter, he sought to destroy them, as we'll find out later on as we study. And you have to be careful, because people who align with you, and they align with you, and they know that you are God's anointed, but they understand that there's a war going on with people who don't like you. When they align with you, they have to be very careful to understand that there will be an attack, an assassination that will come after them too. There will be an attack because of your agreement with the will of God. So you can't have people who are wishy-washy, who are trying to align with you. And we see this because when David goes into the cave of Adullam, it was only those men who were like David who were going into that cave. And we'll get into that later on. Don't have enough time today to get into it. But I want you to understand that when you have the heart of God, the character of who he is shows up in every action and every deed, even in the presence of your enemies. Even when your enemies are coming against you, you desire to keep a heart that is pleasing to God, and you don't desire to fight back or to be vindictive or revengeful. You want to stay pleasing to God, and that's what you must do when you're being in a process of going from one place to another and being anointed to take the role that God has called you. You have an enemy, but you cannot retaliate and act like your enemy. You must remain with a heart like God. I'm Pastor Cheryl Thaxton. Thank you so much for joining me today for Favor Life, The Process of Dare. And we'll be back tomorrow with another episode, an empowerment of Favor Life, The Process of Dare. I want you to be encouraged in your process, and don't give up. God is up to something very wonderful in your life, and he's going to do it for his glory. Be blessed in Jesus' name.